Revelation chapter 22, verses 3 through 5. This is the reading of God's word. There will no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his bond servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And there will no longer be any night, and they will not have need of the light of a lamp, nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them, and they will reign forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word so that we may benefit the heavenly power to change us more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Let us hear your word with faith so that our faith will grow. And with that growing faith, let us witness the reality of our eternal salvation that our Lord has accomplished for us. Oh Father, by your grace, let the word be preached correctly, and that your people will be able to understand and believe and obey. Bless us, God, and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We continue our journey through the book of Revelation. This is number 90, 90th sermon on this book. So we got a few more sermons to go. We are at chapter 22, verse 3. Through chapters 21 and 22, we are looking at the kingdom of God, our eternal home, heaven. I don't know about you, I'm hearing some echoes. I hope I'm not going crazy. Yes, we are looking at the kingdom of God, our eternal home, heaven. And what we are looking at is also our present spiritual reality. We saw last time from chapter 22, verse 1 and 2, the rich and abundant, overflowing reality of God's eternal salvation for his people. Bountiful and overflowing eternal life. All that is needed in that eternal life is given in abundance and in most excellent and glorious quality. The overflowing blessings of God is flowing like a great river. The overflowing love of God is flowing like a great river. Complete and perfect satisfaction. Never-ending joy and bliss. Now we come to verse 3. Verses 3 through 5 continues to show us our reality of our eternal salvation. Verse 3 and 4b, there will no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his bond servants will serve him, and his name will be on their foreheads. What do we learn from that? The God's people in heaven are God's priests. They're serving and worshiping God. And verse 5, and there will be no longer any night, for they will not have need of the light of the lamp, nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them and they will reign forever and ever. And verse 5 shows that God's people are kings in his kingdom. Thus, God's people are His royal priesthood. But you need to wait until next Lord's Day to hear about that. Today, we will look at verse 4a. They will see His face. Because when I was reading verses 3 to 5, in the middle of it, when I saw this, that they will see His face, even though other verses were describing this glorious sight of heaven. I mean, amazing and glorious. And yet they all disappeared to the background. And this verse just came right out. Yes, heaven is where we will see God face to face. They will see His face. Now, this is our ultimate purpose. There is nothing better than this. This is the ultimate blessing of God. Our religion, in case you don't know, Christianity, is not so much of what to do or not to do. The true Christianity is all about the relationship with God and His people. It is all about intimate, sweet, loving communion with God. It is about meeting this God and seeing Him face to face and eternally loving Him and worshiping Him. For us, Christians, the ultimate suffering as we live our lives here on earth is not able to see our God face to face. We long to see our God. We want to go to heaven as soon as possible. Why? To see our Lord Jesus Christ. We are eagerly waiting for our Lord's return. Why? We want to see Him. We want to see our beloved husband's face. You know, living in this United States of America, I met, young Koreans. It doesn't happen that much anymore. Well, at least I don't see it. But long time ago, these young men who live here, but they would marry a woman or lady or girl in Korea. So he gets over there and they get married. But because of visa problem, the wife is not able to come right away. So this guy, even though he's married, he has to come here alone, and he waits for his wife to come. You know, this person, and I saw many of them actually, they want to see their wives so much that it hurts them. And, I don't have to give this example. There are all kinds of examples. Somehow your loved ones are away for a while. And you miss them. You want to see them. Because you love them. And that's what happens between to people who truly love. You miss them if you don't see them. How about Jesus Christ? Do you miss Him? do you want to see him? Is that what drives you? Because that person who got married but his wife is not coming right away, every day, his whole life is in terms of wanting to see her. How about your eternal husband? Do you even miss him? Does it hurt because you are not able to see him face to face? Do you love him? Maybe that's a better question. This is what our religion is all about. It's to see his face. See our God's face. But look at our heavenly reality through that verse that we see here. We will see his face. And you know what? No matter how much we suffer in this world, I don't care if my body is like cut in half, as soon as we see his face, all is well. All is perfectly okay. You know, this kind of thing happens even in human level. You know, you hear these, I call it dumb, you know, songs from radio about some dumb love. Even at that dumb love level, this happens. You know, girls don't trust guys when they say, oh, all I need is you. I don't care about anything else. Yeah, they mean it. Because I did mean it when I said that. But, you know, we forget as we... I guess at that time, okay, he meant it. But no, as time passes. But even at that level, this is true. How about your love for Christ? How real is Christ to you? Or all this Christ and heaven and Christianity, it's just all your imagination. What more we want or will ask when we see Him who sees us with his loving, smiling face. See, we do understand the psalmist, what he was saying when he said in Psalm 73:25, verse 25, whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth. Because he is everything to us. And this is what Christianity is all about. But see, some of you might hear this. We will see his face, but you might not know what that really means. You have to understand how blessed it is to see God's face. You must understand how difficult, how impossible for a sinner to see God's face. You're not excited about these things because you do not really get it. You don't understand. See, for a sinner to see God's face is to eternally die. That is why if you truly understand how sinful you are and you read this, that I will see God's face, it's mind-boggling. Exodus 19. Verse 21. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, "Go down, warn the people, so that they do not break through to the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish." This is at the Mount Sinai. God commanded his people to gather. And God is coming to them. Just seriously, if you understand as you worship God, that you are looking at God's face, I don't think you'll be distracted. You don't have to know what any other thing that might be going on in our surrounding. We're here to worship. And we're here right now to hear His word. Seriously, if that is not why you have come, you are at the wrong place. Because we came to worship God. They're at the mountain. And God is coming to them. He promised to come to them. And what did God say to Moses? Go down and warn them. Warn of what? They might come near to God and gaze. And that they will die. Do you understand how difficult, how impossible it is for a sinner to come near to God, let alone seeing His face? Exodus 33. Verse 20. God says to Moses, because Moses was asking to see God's face, and God says, "You cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live." As soon as a sinner looks at God, he perishes. That's how much holy God is and how filthy sinners are. That's why when Isaiah met God in the Holy of Holies, and back then, it's not clear face-to-face meeting. It was all covered with smoke. And yet, when Isaiah met God, this is what he cries out. Isaiah 6. Let me just read it to you. Verse 5, "Then I said, 'Woe is me, for I am ruined. I'm dead, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.'" I'm dead now because I saw God. You think, as a sinner, you could just come to God as if you're coming to, I don't know. You know how blessed you are even to be able to come to church and worship God in front of Him? Just the fact that if you are truly worshiping, that you are truly Christian, that you are meeting God as you worship Him, you know how blessed you are just to do that? Because it was not for Christ. And if we're just sinners without Christ, there's no way in the world we could come to God. Churchgoers are so rude when they come to God. But gracious God, because of Christ, He is pleased with sinners like us. You know, I told you this many, many times before. Meeting God in the Old Testament. God says, I will meet you in the Holy of Holies. So this representative, the high priest, only once a year is able to go into the Holy of Holies to meet God. And all the people of God, they have to stay outside. Don't come near, you die. And even the high priest, he has to do exactly what God tells him to do, otherwise he will die. That's why he wears bells, so that people outside can hear bell ringing. And his rope and the other side of rope is outside. So that when he does anything wrong, if he dies, they have to pull him out. Because you can't even go in to get him. You'll die too. What is God showing? How impossible for a sinner to come near God. But see, Christians, so-called Christians, do not understand. They come to God so rudely. What is your attitude as you come to worship, to meet God? For a sinner to see God's face is the most terrifying thing. That's why, do you remember Revelation? Of course not. It's been so long. Chapter 6, verse 16. You know, when God was pouring out His judgment upon the world. Chapter 6, verse 16. These people who are being judged, they said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the presence of Him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Meeting God as a judge is so terrifying that they were calling rocks to fall upon them so that they will not see God's face. This is how terrifying it is to see God's face as a sinner. Thus, in the Old Testament, like I said, in the tabernacle, the Holy of Holies, the tabernacle was covered and covered and covered to show us how meeting God is so difficult for a sinner. And you know, even that high priest, once a year, when he has to go into the Holy of Holies and meet God at His throne, which was the covenant of Ark of Covenant, and the mercy seat at the top of Ark of Covenant, that was symbolizing God's throne. And in order for that high priest to go into the Holy of Holies and meet God at that place, you know what he had to do? Go to Leviticus 16. Leviticus chapter 16. Verse 13. He shall put the incense on the fire, because as you go into the Holy of Holies, you know, Holy of Holies was covered with the curtain, and right in front of the curtain there was what? Altar of incense. So verse 16 says what? Verse 13. He shall put the incense on the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is on the ark of the testimony, otherwise he will die. Even the high priest, once a year, meeting God, he cannot see God's face. That room was filled with smoke. Otherwise, the high priest will die. If you truly understand this, when you read this verse, that they will see God's face, you will realize how blessed we are. The Bible also often describes the curse, the judgment of God, in terms of God covering his face. Oh, there are so many places I could go. But let me read some verses out of Psalms. Psalm 10, verse 11. He says to himself, God has forgotten. He has hidden his face. He will never see it. So he describes his being judged in terms of God covering his face towards him. The Psalm 13, verse 1. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Psalm 27, verse 9. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not abandon me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. So God covering his face, or turning his face away from you, is abandoning you, is pouring out his judgment upon you. Psalm 102, verse 2. Do not hide your face from me in the day of my distress. Incline your ear to me in the day when I call. Answer me quickly. And I guess you get the point. I have to read more like that. It is to be kicked out of presence of God. Thus, David cried out in Psalm 51, verse 11, do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. God covering his face is God abandoning you. You will not see his face. You will die eternally, meaning you'll be abandoned eternally. On the other hand, God's blessing is described in the Bible in terms of God showing his face. So we have in Numbers chapter 6, let me read that to you, Aaron's blessing. Chapter 6, verse 22-23, speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the sons of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. So God's blessing is described in terms of God make his face shine upon us. And there's all kinds of Psalms that actually talks about this blessing. Let me read a couple. Psalm 4, verse 7. You have put gladness in my heart more than when their grain and new wine abound. Wait a minute. Verse 6. I'm reading the wrong thing. Many are saying, who will show us any good? Lift up the light of your countenance upon us, O Lord. Psalm 67, verse 1. God be gracious to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Psalm 80, verse 3. O God, restore us and cause your face to shine upon us, and we will be saved, and on and on and on. Thus, even from the Old Testament, the hope of God's people was always to see God's face. Job 19. Let's go there together. Job 19. Verse 25. As for me, I know that my Redeemer lives. And at the last, he will take his stand on the earth. Even after my skin is destroyed, yet from my flesh I shall see God, whom I myself shall behold, and whom my eyes will see and not another. My heart faints within me. This is the hope that Old Testament saints have. So we read, obviously, so many psalms in terms of that. Psalm 42, verse 2. My soul thirsts for God, for living God. When shall I come and appear before God? When will I come to God and see him? Psalm 27. Verse 4, one thing I have asked from the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. The righteous and the upright will behold God's face. Psalm 11, verse 7, for the Lord is righteous, he loves righteousness, the upright will behold his face, and they seek God's face. Now, in the Old Testament, God's people see God in a typological way, and I already explained to you at Friday Bible study what is a type and what is antitype. In the Old Testament, it's typological. It's not true. It's not real. So in the Old Testament, God's people see God in a typological way. There's many, many places we could go, but go to Exodus 24. Exodus 24. Verse 9. This is when God is making covenant with his people in the Old Testament. And after the covenant is made, we see verse 9, then Moses went up with Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel, and under his feet were there appeared to be a pavement of sapphire as clear as the sky itself. But again, it's a typological way. They did not see God the way that you and I will see in heaven. But for you and for me, this God came. And Jesus Christ came and showed us God himself, because he is God. So as soon as the Old Testament starts, and the Old Testament starts by Jesus coming, and when you behold Jesus Christ, you are actually looking at God. It's not typological. You are looking at the true God. This is what John says in chapter 1, verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." John 1, verse 18, "No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, He has explained Him." He has revealed the Father. John chapter 14, verse 9b, Jesus says this, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." Second Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Second Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12. "Therefore, having such a hope, we use great boldness in our speech, and are not like Moses, who used to put a veil over his face so that the sons of Israel would not look intently at the end of what was fading away. But their minds were hardened. For until this very day, at the reading of the Old Covenant, the same veil remains unlifted because it is removed in Christ. But to this day, whenever Moses is read," meaning Old Testament is read, "a veil lies over their heart. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit." What is he saying? Jesus is greater than Moses. Actually, Moses is a type of Jesus. Now, Moses met God too. Moses went up to mountain and saw God. That's why his face was shining. But that shine was fading. So they put a towel over his face so that people would not see the fading glory of God. Now, he uses that image to tell us the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. That's why these people, like Moses, have towel as a veil over their face. That's why whenever they read the Bible, they don't get it. Even today, Jews, ethnic Jews, there's veil over their faces. They read the Old Testament and they will not recognize Jesus as the Messiah. But it says that when you come to Jesus, the veil is lifted. And that's who you are. That's why when you see God, it's not like the Old Testament people, as if there's a veil over it. Because Jesus has revealed God perfectly to us. Thus, you and I are the ones who are seeing God's face. Of course, right now, spiritually, we behold His face through the Word and through the faith that God gives us. But one day, His face will be visible and you will see with your own eyes His face. But that seeing God's face has already begun for you in Jesus Christ. Now the last thing I want to talked about is this, maybe in a question form. Yes, you and I, we behold God's face. And we've been seeing from the Old Testament how difficult or how impossible for a sinner to behold his face. Then what has happened that we are now, even though we are sinners, that we are now able to behold God's face? What has happened? How did this amazing blessing is now ours? Well, it is Jesus Christ. Do you remember on the cross? When he was dying on the cross, he had to cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because Jesus was bearing our sins on the cross, do you see that moment the Father turns his face away from him? God covers his face from his own Son. Why? So that now in Jesus Christ, our God will never turn his face from you. He doesn't have to do that. Because he did that in Christ. Yes, we do not deserve to see his face. Yes, we're sinners. When we do look at God's face, we will eternally die. But see, Jesus Christ has died for you. That he has experienced God the Father turning away his face from him. And he did that for you. He did that in your place. This is why you and I, we have confidence that God will never turn his face away from us. That his face will shine upon us now and forever. And this is what the gospel is all about. Yes, even though you and I were filthy sinners, we will see God's face. God will not turn his face away from you. And when we do, what else does matter? You know how God sees you at this moment? First, you got to realize, without Christ, how will God see you? You deserve all of his wrath, all of his curse and judgment. But because of Jesus Christ and what he has done and accomplished, do you know how God sees you right now? Go to Zephaniah. God will tell us how he sees us in Christ. Zephaniah, and some of you are going, what is that? In the Old Testament, right before Haggai, and Haggai is right before Zechariah. Sounds like Zephaniah. But Zephaniah chapter 3. If you don't, you can't find it, just listen. Listen, this is what God says, how he sees you. Look at this. Chapter 3, verse 17. The Lord your God is in your midst. Is this true right now? Yes. A victorious warrior. He will exult over you with joy. He will be quiet in his love. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. He's so happy with you, he has to scream. He has, with shouts of joy, he's pleased with you because of Christ. Do you see your God's loving, smiling face towards you? Are we just imagining? Yeah, for some churchgoers, man, whatever we talk about, you know, Christianity things, it's as if it's all their imagination. It's not real. Do you really believe? But remember what Jesus had to go through so that God sees you with smiling face. Do you understand what it is, what it was for Jesus, for his Father to turn his face away from him? You and I will never have to cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He will never forsake you because he forsook you in Christ, and he will never do that. One more verse. I just almost said this is my favorite verse, one of my favorite verses, but you know how ridiculous that sounds? You know, whole Bible is God's word, and what? It shouldn't every verse be my favorite verse? Yeah. But I like this verse. Even that is ridiculous because I should like every verse. I should love every verse. I don't know. Psalm 17. And there's a praise song with the almost the exact words as this verse. So let's learn that this coming Friday. Verse 15. As for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. I will be satisfied with your likeness when I awake. Describes what my life is all about. I will behold God's face in righteousness. And when I resurrect from the dead, I will be satisfied because I see him. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, remember, seeing God's face is our present spiritual heavenly reality. As we worship, we have gathered at his presence. Do you understand that? And I invite you to see God's face. He's looking at your face, and he is very happy with you. And God is rejoicing because of you. Just like we are rejoicing because of God. God is so happy to see you. Now when our Lord Jesus Christ returns, that reality will be visible. Thus, you and I join the Apostle John in praying, come Lord, come quickly. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. It is indeed amazing grace, amazing salvation. We thank you for your word. It tells us our heavenly reality. It tells us we will see God. We will see your face. And Father, that is truly enough for us. More than enough. It's better than our lives. Oh Father, let us be happy and glad. Let us rejoice with shouts of joy. Let us enjoy you, our God, as you enjoy us with shouts of joy. We thank you, God, and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.